Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we return to 1 Timothy chapter 5, where we're talking about guidelines for church benevolence, how we are to determine who the church should support financially. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, May 18. Thanks to those of you who help us financially keep this program on this station. Well, we have learned that the church should care for those who are truly needy and have no one else to care for them, and for those who have demonstrated godliness, who have a godly testimony, a godly reputation. Now, in looking more carefully at that question of needy, those who are truly needy, we learn that this too is defined for us by the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, more than guided by the Spirit of God, but superintended by the Spirit of God, so that this becomes not just an epistle of Paul to Timothy at Ephesus with some good suggestions, but it becomes the Word of God for all the churches of all ages with some very specific guidelines that God expects us to follow. How do we define needy? The needy are those who are unable to care for themselves and have no God-honoring alternatives. Not just those who are unwilling to care for themselves, but those who truly can't and have nobody else to take care of them. No immediate family, no extended family. And those who are godly. Not just anybody who's needy. A lot of people are needy because they have been ungodly. And the church is not instructed to care for them. Now again, several broadcasts ago, I made a distinction between a Good Samaritan situation where somebody has been blindsided by a tragedy, by an accident over which they had no control. And that's clear, that's evident, and God brings you into that situation and you can see the need. And in a case like that, you don't say, now, are you a godly person? Do you have a godly reputation? You just help them with the immediate need. You give them what they need to keep them alive, to spare them from that tragedy. You get them to the doctor. You get them to the hospital. You get them the bare necessities that are obviously needed in that situation. But we're talking about people that you help repeatedly. You help long term. You help over the long run. Now, this also applies, I think, to people who contact churches not anonymously necessarily, but just people who are unknown to churches. They just contact them. You see, I don't know what it's like in your community, but in our community there are enough churches that if a person is inclined to beg for help from churches rather than take care of themselves, there are enough churches that they can go from church to church to church, and it may seem to this church that this person has a fresh need and will help them this one time, and they go to the next church and the same thing again. It's kind of because you don't know how many other churches this person has been to and how many other churches have helped them. You don't get a true picture of what's going on. You don't realize that they are more skilled at soliciting help from churches who are generally inclined to help, good-hearted people, generous people, compassionate people, and you don't realize that these are people who are professional beggars, skilled at getting help from churches. This, of course, is a different situation than what you have in the first century, because in Paul's day, there was only one church in Ephesus. So that church would know who its members were, and that church would know what the condition was in its community. There's no indication that anybody in the community would expect to receive any help from the church. That wouldn't have been expected, but we live in a different situation, a different climate, a different understanding and expectation, wrong expectations that many people have, and many people have learned that churches are a very soft touch. And if there are, I think in our county, there are over 200 churches. Well, if somebody got help from a different church every week, financial help, it would take them 4 years if they got help from all the churches, which I'm sure they don't. But if they only got help from, if they got help from all the churches, it would take them over 4 years before they'd ever repeat a church. You'd forget who they were by that time. If they only got help from half the churches, it would take them over 2 years. If they only got help from one quarter of the churches, it would still be over a year before they would make the rounds again, you see. So this is challenging. How do you know if this is a genuine need? How do you know if this is a Good Samaritan type situation? Well, I must confess, there have been a number of times over the years when I have helped people that probably I shouldn't have, really. It's just hard to say. But I have gotten a little bit better at it over the years, and I have learned many times when these telephone calls come out of the blue, and that's usually what it is, a telephone call, to start asking some questions. And if I'm not getting good answers, then I don't generally offer help. You say, what kind of questions? Well, questions like, who do you work for? If they claim to be working, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Who do you work for? Well, I work for so-and-so. Can you give me his number? Let me call him and talk to him. You know, ask them about their family and relatives. Can you give me a name and a number so that I could call and talk to them? You know, relatives generally know people pretty well. And what I found is that most of the time people aren't willing to give you those names and numbers. Now, if it was a genuine need, a genuine emergency, these are not people who are skilled beggars, but they are people that have fallen into an unfortunate situation, they wouldn't mind giving you that information. Yes, please call. A lot of times you'll get calls from people who have broken down on the road and they want to get help from churches. Well, that sounds like a Good Samaritan type situation, doesn't it? But just keep this in mind. And I'm not telling you not to help anybody like that. I have, and I'm sure you have, and I'm sure there are times when you will. You make a judgment call, and you hope it's the right one, and you'd rather err on the side of help than on the side of refusing help. But just keep in mind that most people, if they do have an unfortunate situation, a breakdown on the road, most people don't call a church. I've never done that. I've never even thought to do that. A church that I don't know, a church in the town where I've broken down, just start calling churches and asking them to help. And I've had many cases where when I've started asking questions, people have gotten really, really mad at me just for asking the questions. And it's almost like they are demanding help. You are supposed to help me. When I start hearing that attitude, I back away real fast. Because that's what this whole passage is saying. No, the church doesn't have a responsibility to care for people they don't know. The church doesn't have a responsibility to care for people who are not their members. They don't even have a responsibility to care for all of their members who are in need. There are specific qualifications here. Whoever gave you the idea that it's the church's responsibility to care for all the needy people in the community? But that seems to be the expectation that a lot of people have. Now, back to this Good Samaritan type situation. Just keep in mind that in the Good Samaritan situation that Jesus gave us the parable about, that was a very instructive parable, the Good Samaritan, the Jew who was beaten by thieves and left to die by the wayside, by the side of the road, he didn't approach the Samaritan and ask him for help. It was the other way around. The Samaritan came upon the situation, sized it up, recognized that here was a person who was genuinely in need, and he was willing to help when a priest, a Levi, who should have, because the man who was beaten was a Jew, when a priest and a Levi, and the priest and a Levi who should have, because they're supposed to be religious, godly people, they didn't. And here's the Samaritan, presumably not a godly person, though he may have been. We really don't know anything about him. And he does, and there's a natural barrier between him and the Jew, and he cast all those things aside, and he helped him. But it wasn't that the beaten Jew approached the Samaritan and asked him for help. Now, there are some statements in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, about helping those who ask for it, that we should do that. So, I'm not going to say that the guidelines that are found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 are always hard and fast. There are some of these one-time situations where the rules are different. You'll have to make a determination. I can't tell you what to do in every situation, but I can tell you some stories, and we can all tell some stories. We used to see, don't see so much anymore, at least around our town, these people by the interstate ramps with signs, out of work, will work for food, hungry, or something like that, and with a sign. I can tell you of people who have actually said, oh, that poor man, and gone home and made him some food, made up some sandwiches and brought it back to him. Here's some food for a hungry man. And he got mad. He didn't want food. He wanted money. And you see, that was a ploy. And so often it is. And there's so much of that. There's so much of that. Deception. A ploy. I've had experiences more than once where somebody came to the church, just, you know, came by the church seeking help, and I said, you know, here's a man that's standing in front of me, appears to be able-bodied, you know, we have some things that we need done around here. I tell you what, if you'll do this, I don't know what it is right now, but do this, we'll give you, we'll pay you. We'll pay you to do a specific job. We'll pay you $10 an hour or something like that. If you'll do this for us and you can earn the money you say you need. I have seldom had anybody who was willing to do that. Oh, they're in such great need and they want a handout, but they're not willing to work for it. That's their problem. That's why they are in need. Don't you see? Because they're not willing to work for it. That's exactly why they are in need. And when you help them, you just encourage them to continue that course. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.